Blog Talk Radio.
We don't play, we take it to the house. M.I.A., take it to the house. The way we take it to the house. Take it to the house, take it to the house. 305, take it to the house. Well, we got that vibe, take it to the house. Slip and slide, take it to the house.
Take it to the house, take it to the house. Out. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo. I'm coming to you live with my co-host T and, of course, Conn. We have a huge show ahead as training camps have officially started. Meaning the season is underway, your fantasy draft is approaching pretty quickly. It's time to start studying, it's time to start creating your own rankings, and it's time to start doing your own research. Fortunately for you, we took the liberty of doing most of the work for you. We're ready to share everything you need to know about the running back position on this week's episode, which just so happens to be the most important position in fantasy football this season. Due to the lack of depth and the rise of running backs by committee. So we'll break down each running back, and while we are doing so, we of course encourage you to call in. We'd love to hear. We'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846. Or you can inbox us on Facebook. Apologize for the difficulties. First storyline of the week. Robert Griffin to be held out of preseason games. Looks like they're not going to try to push his injury. We know he's going to be back by week one. He made some miraculous recovery, sort of like Adrian Peterson. They don't want anything else to happen. They don't want another injury to occur. I think it's a safe way out. I think they just want to just make sure, like I said, nothing happens to him.
Yeah, it is a safe way out, but, you know, he is only a second-year quarterback. You know, I would rather have him getting reps in the preseason, but, you know, better safe than sorry in this case, and looks like they're going to hold him out, but he also looks like he's going to be ready to start week one.
Another injury that might be prominent on come draft day, Jonathan Stewart. Looks like he's day-to-day again. Seems like this happens every day. All year round, and you know, this only raises D'Angelo Williams' draft stock, and it's weird. The big thing is we'll touch up on this later. D'Angelo Williams is actually being drafted behind Jonathan Stewart on draft day, which doesn't make much sense to me. But another running back position, it looks like the Bengals might split carries between Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis and Giovanni Bernard. We'll touch up on all these. The big story that just arose a few hours ago, actually. Looks like Percy Harvin has a potential major injury to his hip. Its surgery is very, very possible, says Coach Pete Carroll. If that does happen, it looks like we don't know how long of a period he could miss, which is huge for the entire, not only real life, but the entire fantasy offense in Seattle. It takes attention away from Marshawn Lynch. It takes a playmaker away from Russell Wilson. And it makes their receiving core pretty mediocre at best. But let's get into the big story, the running backs. As you said, what we want to touch on, we're going to go over running back strategy, pretty much go over the top 20 running backs, give you a little bit of information about each one, just let you know who's overrated, who's underrated, who your sleepers are, who your draft busts are, what your strategy should be in different leagues with different positions. PPR leagues, we're going to cover it all. So make sure you pay attention. Like I said, this is the most important position in fantasy football this year due to draft position scarcity, lack of depth, stuff like that. Just like last week, I think it was pretty obvious, Adrian Peterson is the number one running back. What's there to say about Adrian Peterson? He's a clear-cut number one, fully removed from ACL surgery. We all saw what he did last year, almost breaking the all-time single-season rushing record after coming off the ACL injury and coming back on short notice, which is good news for Robert Griffin, who's sort of in the same position as him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not only is he one full season removed from ACL surgery, you know, he gets his full reps this year. He gets a full training camp in. You know, he gets touches in the preseason. You know, he's not basically just coming off the injury and then jumping right into games because they were pretty careful with him last preseason. You know, also you have to love him. He's the guy in Minnesota, much like, you know, like last week, Aaron Rodgers is the guy in Green Bay, or Drew Brees is the guy in New Orleans. He is the primary weapon for that Minnesota Vikings offense. He's the primary red zone weapon. You know, he's going to carry them down the field and score a lot of their touchdowns.
Especially with Percy Harvin gone. They did sign Greg Jennings, but as you mentioned, you couldn't have said it better. Adrian Peterson's the focal point of that offense and practically any offense, including the Pro Bowl roster. That's just how good he is. Other than the ACL injury, he really doesn't get hurt too often. Christian Ponder is a concern. He has the lowest yards per attempt out of any quarterback for throws over 20 yards. Greg Jennings should hopefully help that. But, I mean, Adrian Peterson is not an elite pass catcher. He's the number one. There's not much else to talk about. And no matter what league, no matter how many running backs you're talking about, no matter what kind of league you're in.
I mean, let's put it this way. For his past 3 years where he hasn't missed time, so that takes away the ACL injury, he's averaged 1,593 yards per season and 14 touchdowns. That's almost averaging – that's almost 100 yards per game and a touchdown per game. So, you know, that's on top of his receiving – whether he's an elite pass catcher or not, those are elite stats.
And that's according to Adrian himself. He's practically sat out the first 5 games of last season just making sure that his ACL was ready to come back and just waiting until he can absolutely go full blast for the rest of the season. So, like I said, he's your clear-cut number one. The big story, there's a big debate over who would go number two, actually number two through six in your league. We have plenty of different options. We're just going to take it as we see it by these rankings. No particular order. Let's go with Arian Foster from Houston. he came out of nowhere about 4 years ago. The big thing with Foster, he did decline a little bit last year, still had a great year. He relies on his touchdowns. His yardage has gone down. No running back has had more touches than Foster in the last 3 years. And his yards per carry have gone down every season in those past 3 years. That's pretty significant for me. In PPR leagues, he's still a good pass catcher. Ben Tate was hurt all last season, couldn't stay on the field, so they tried to give Foster as many carries as they could. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think they're going to hold Foster out a little bit, try to keep him healthy. He does have a little bit of an injury history. But also, just like his play, it looks like their line play has declined last season too.
Yeah, you know, Ben Tate, I think last year was his 3rd year in the league. I think he's been hurt for 2 out of 3 years. Let's not forget he tore his ACL his senior year of school and missed his entire rookie year. So, you know, out of the 3 years, we only have one real season to judge on how Tate is going to affect Foster. And like you said, you know, he has – the bad news is he has a ton of touches over the past 3 years. And, you know, this year might be the year that he finally – you know, sees that major decline. But the good news is that he's had the most touches in football over the past 3 years, so you know you're going to get production out of him.
Right.
The telling thing about Foster for me is that he has 72% of Houston's touchdowns inside the 10 touches inside the 10-yard line. That's, you know, almost 3 out of almost 4 plays go to Arian Foster inside the 10-yard line, which, you know, is obviously a big reason why hit touchdowns help him in fantasy value, but I don't see that changing too much.
All right, so you're not worried about Ben Tate stealing any goal line carries for him?
No, not at all. Foster has always proven to be, you know,
if you have the second pick in the league, who are you going with? PPR or not? Does that change your opinion?
Yeah, I mean,
PPR,
right now,
if we...
right, I mean, right this day, today, I'd have to probably say Arian Foster, but I think it's very possible Jamaal Charles or Doug Martin could change my mind in the coming weeks.
Jamaal Charles would be a fantastic pick, PPR or not. What I like about Jamaal Charles, his upside is just tremendous. Andy Reid is his new coach. They want to install the pistol offense, and we know what the pistol offense is all about. Jamaal Charles is going to be, like I said, in a PPR league, his career high in catches is only 45. Assuming he stays healthy, which I think he could, barring another ACL injury, he really hasn't been held out of too many games over his short career. He only had nine carries inside the 10-yard line last year. He's not much of a scoring back, but his big play ability is just phenomenal. I think they're going to try to get him the ball. They're going to install more of a West Coast offense. Andy Reid loves to throw the ball. He loves to dunk the ball off to his running back. Just think Ryan Westbrook years ago. Think LeSean McCoy a little bit more recently. I think what they're going to do there, I also like what Dwayne Bowe is capable of, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Jamaal Charles, he's clearly the best player on that roster. They really just don't even have a running back worth mentioning behind Jamaal Charles.
No, they really don't. And, you know, like you said, with LeSean McCoy, you can make an argument that Jamaal Charles is every bit as talented, if not more talented than LeSean McCoy. And just 2 years ago, LeSean McCoy, I think, had 78 catches in a year and 20 total touchdowns. So, you know, I don't expect the Chiefs offense to be that explosive just because Alex Smith is a quarterback. But Alex Smith is going to be able to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers like Jamaal Charles, like Dwayne Bowe. I expect, you know, whether it's running or receiving, I expect Charles to have the ball a ton this year. And, you know, he can take it house anytime he touches the ball.
It's completely true. He actually said he's ready to handle that workload as well. Let me answer my own question for a second. Who would I take number two overall? I don't think it's a no-brainer to me, besides having him on my keeper team. Doug Martin, running back from Tampa Bay. What else? What's there to say about him? He's an absolute true workhorse. He was second in the league in yards after first contact, behind only Adrian Peterson. And even in non-PPR leagues, he's a great fantasy PPR running back. So he's going to get you points there. Even in non-PPR leagues, he still finished as the second highest scoring running back. So now add in all those catches, add in all that extra yardage, and there's just no time where the points are going to stop. He gets both his Pro Bowl guards, Carl Nitz and David Joseph, coming back. He's just going to have – the openings are going to be there. Greg Schiano loves to run the ball. They don't have full confidence in Josh Freeman. They do have two receivers who, you know, might take away from his goal line carries, his red zone opportunities. But
yeah, you know, here's the only thing I have with Doug Martin, and, you know, I know you love him, so you're probably going to sit here and say this – he's in his crap, but we've only seen him do it for 1 year. You can easily, you know, if I told you last year was Doug Martin's best year of his career, that could be completely true. The three guys we've already mentioned have been doing it for years. And, you know, if I have a top two or three pick, I might want to go with that track record over, you know, I'm not going to say an unknown because he was a Pro Bowl running back last year.
He only had 1 year in order to do it. I think you're just still a little bitter that the Giants missed him by one pick. Got stuck with David Wilson.
No, I'm confident that, you know, that things happen, you know. I, of course, I have a Jets and a Lions fan here, so we can't really talk about the draft too much. But, you know, I think this is actually, you know, and we mentioned strength of schedule last year. Not to judge your players on it, but if you're in between a couple of players and, you know, that could be your tie-breaking factor. And Doug Martin is going to run against the easiest schedule in the league this year. So, you know, there really is no excuse for him not, you know, between getting his Pro Bowl guards back and, you know, not having a true backup, he really should put up the yards this year.
I think we both agree that in PPR leagues, Jamaal Charles and Doug Martin both jump ahead of Arian Foster. Another guy that falls lagged a little behind in PPR leagues, Marshawn Lynch from Seattle. We touched up on him before. He might be the safest pick in standard league, stays healthy, gets all the carries, very consistent. He gets all the goal line carries. He's pretty much the only back they have there. And he will be the focal point of that offense, especially with the strong defense they built in Seattle. A team is likely to be ahead most of the time. They like to run the ball at the end of games. Russell Wilson's a very conservative quarterback. They're going to try to kill the clock, run the ball out as much as they can.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean – even though we said it's bad news for the Seahawks, Percy Harvin's being out is probably just going to benefit Marshawn Lynch's value a little bit more. You know, if you watch Percy Harvin play before, he's not just a wide receiver. He can line up in the backfield, take carries, stuff like that. You know, the thing that when I think about Marshawn Lynch is just, like you said, consistency. He had 85 yards in all but two of his games last year, and he's had double-digit touchdowns the past 2 years. He's basically just he's a beast. You know, he doesn't offer much in catching the ball, but, you know, if you're in a standard league or, you know, you have a fifth or sixth pick, I would feel supremely confident with going Marshawn Lynch.
All right. Guy can flat out play. What he can't do is apparently call for a taxi because he does have a DUI charge pending. He shouldn't get suspended, but, you know, that's something you have to worry about. I don't think it's going to change his draft slot. Don't worry about that. I forget I even mentioned it. Move on to someone, you know, more explosive back, more of an upside guy. We don't know exactly what the situation is going to be, but we can only speculate on C.J. Spiller. Due to his new coach, Doug Marrone, from Syracuse last year, his quote in this offseason, my philosophy has always been if someone starts off and they're running well, keep feeding them the ball. We know that C.J. Spiller did run the ball well, and Fred Jackson's coming off an injury. Fred Jackson's 32 already. That's really old for a running back.
And he's always coming off an injury.
He is always coming off injuries. He's had his success, but I think it's Spiller's turn. They don't have much of a quarterback situation there. It looks like Kevin Cobb is going to get the start, but they do want to run more plays. They do want to score more points. That's going to be their goal. If I had their defense, I wouldn't want that defense on the field either. I do want to keep the offense on as long as possible. Spiller, he said he's ready to handle the workload. He's going to get as many touches as possible. He may even line up sometimes in the slot in order to get him the ball more often, which could give Fred Jackson more opportunity. But that's not the big story here. Fred Jackson's not going till his ADP is not till 12, round 12 or 13. C.J. Spiller, I think he's locked into the first round of all leagues.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just, you know, based on upside alone, you know, he had over 1,200 yards rushing last year. You know, he kind of proved that he could carry that load once Fred Jackson went down. You know, with the bad quarterback play, like you said, you know, they'll probably feed him the ball in the red zone too, which gives him opportunity for touchdowns. The only X factor that I would say is that he did lose one of the best guards in the league with Andy Levitre. You know, you just, if you're going to put red flags on Spiller, you know, with the coaching change and the change on the offensive line, you might want to see how that's going to affect him. But, you know, I think C.J. Spiller is a stud.
Right. I think the coaching change could affect him just from a, you know, a mindset perspective. But also, Doug Marrone likes to run the ball. Like I said, I think he's just going to get more opportunity.
I will say this too. Spiller and Adrian Peterson were the only two running backs to average 6 yards per carry last year. So he must be doing something right.
Right. Like I said, opportunity is a big thing. And another thing that's eating into one of our running backs' values is the opportunity Ray Rice might be devoid of with Bernard Pierce and his coming out party in the postseason. Since 2009, Ray Rice has played every game and averaged 22 touches per game, and that's kind of what made him one of the top running backs. But you know, the speculation that Bernard Pierce is going to take carries from him, Pierce came in to camp looking great, built muscle, worked out in the offseason. He wants a starting job. We know it's going to be Ray Rice. The team won the Super Bowl, you know, behind Ray Rice. But you know, they're also open to a running back by committee. They want to keep him fresh.
Bernard Pierce is probably going to get 8 to 10 touches a game, you know, so, you know, what we said, Rice averaged about 22 touches per game. You know, you might see that number drop down to 17 or 18. I still think you're going to see, you know, Rice utilizing the passing game. He's a very good back out of the backfield and catching the ball. And I still think you're going to see him in the red zone. You know, Pierce might just steal some of the yards and stuff like that. Last year, he had more touches than the rest of the Ravens team combined inside the 10-yard line, which, you know, means that they obviously trust him holding on to the ball. They trust him getting to the end zone.
Right. He just does – he flat out – he doesn't fumble. He's a three-down back.
Well, I think he did have
a little bit of a fumble in the Super Bowl,
yeah.
And that's all people are going to remember. But he's a full three down back. Did you see even how shocked he was after he dropped the ball in the Super Bowl?
Do you have any allegiance to Ray Rice for any reason?
No.
Or, no, not because he went
to
Rutgers?
And I'll prove it by moving on to Trent Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know if – now, can Trent Richardson stay healthy? He's had injury concerns throughout his career, especially his NFL career. He comes into camp 100%, which is good. They don't have much – besides Trent Richardson, he will be the primary weapon in that offense. He's pretty much all they have on offense. Josh Gordon is suspended for the first two games, the wide receiver from Baylor. like I said, it's tough to name another guy. The backup running back, Montereo Hardesty, might even get cut, who, you know, I liked on all fronts until I found this out. So it's, you know, they're going with Trent Richardson. There's a very good chance he leads the league in carries if they can just hold on to the ball. And if Brandon Weeding can convert a few more third downs, but he's older than me, which I don't say that often anymore. Richardson's a good pass catcher, goal line back. He's gonna do everything for them.
Yeah, and you know what? Richardson played hurt all last year. You know, I think he broke his ribs in week six, and he played through that. I mean, if that guy's not tough, I don't know what it is. Although I will admit, I think I am the one person outside of Cleveland, Ohio, to own a Cleveland Browns jersey. It just happens to be Trent Richardson.
Well, we won that, right?
Oh, well, I did get it for free.
We did get it for free. Would you have, outside of Ohio, would you have paid for it?
No, but
it was on your fantasy team.
Yeah, but the fact remains is that I had a choice between players, and I chose
And I'm pretty
Browns,
sure
but...
you got the ticket that and the for the 50-50 that won that jersey. I'm pretty sure you got those for free too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
This
jersey
is completely undeserved. Hopefully the person who we won this from is not listening.
Anyway, you know, the thing here is, you know, North Turner, while he has his deficiencies as a head coach, has proven to be a great offensive coordinator in the past. I'm going to love seeing what he does with a weapon like Trent Richardson. I can't explain to you how much I like Richardson as a running back. I think he just has all the tools to be one of the top running backs in the league. All he needs is help around him. You know, he rushed for 850 yards last year, and he was still a top 10 back, you know. So, he scores, he catches balls out of the backfield. I think he had 51 catches last year, which is really good for a Cleveland Browns, you know, running back.
And you have to throw in four Cleveland Browns player. Do you know why?
Stink!
The Cleveland Browns offense is just terrible. I don't even want to talk about them anymore. Move on to an offense that's much more viable, LeSean McCoy on the Eagles. Chip Kelly's offense should benefit him. They ran the ball more than anybody in that fast-paced offense. You know he can catch the ball. He's great in PPR leagues. He did get hurt at the end of last year, and Bryce Brown, the backup from Kansas State, was actually very talented, only fell to the seventh round because of behavior problems.
Yeah, he's actually the former number one recruit in the country coming out of high school.
So it might, I'm going to say it's a short leash, but Chip Kelly might want to get reps out of Bryce Brown as well. Just make it more of a committee, switch it up a little bit.
I actually think you might see both of them on the field at the same time. You know, they weren't really both healthy at the same time last year. But I think, you know, with Chip Kelly's offense that he ran at Oregon, you know, he's going to have his playmakers on the field and run misdirections from deception plays. You know, so, you know, LeSean McCoy, if he proves to be the unquestioned starter here, he's a first-round pick. But, you know, you're going to have to probably monitor this closely in preseason, although I really like McCoy to, beat out Brown for the job. You know, it's only 2 years ago that LeSean McCoy had 20 total touchdowns, which, honestly, the only other running back that I remember in the past 5 or 6 years to do it was D'Angelo Williams, you know, since it's kind of unheard of now with the passing craze. So it's pretty remarkable to have 20 touchdowns as a running back nowadays.
All right. Like I said, I think he covered it all. You still have to take LeSean McCoy as a first-round pick, or you got to speculate at this point it's going to be a first-round pick. Chip Kelly's a little bit like Bill Belichick, where he likes to keep his options. He doesn't like to talk about what he's going to run during the season.
Yeah, which, it makes you wonder how much of his full playbook are you going to see during the preseason. But, you know, unfortunately, that's what you're going to have to go on.
The high-risk, high-reward pick. And another guy, you know, another coach who doesn't like to talk much about his game plan, Mike Shanahan over in Washington. But what they did say is, well, Kyle Shanahan, his offensive coordinator, said that Alfred Morris is one of the best running backs he's ever seen. And he's only seen 1 year out of him, so that's a pretty bold statement. What can we say about Alfred Morris? He really was the sleeper pick of last year. If you did pick up Alfred Morris after week one, you pretty much won your league. Wait, did you win your league? No, you didn't. So the rest of the team sucked. Anyway, so... Alfred Morris is pretty solid. That was one of the first times in a long time that they gave. You don't know who's going to get the carries for this offense, and I still wouldn't be surprised if they switched it up. but there's just not much talent behind Alfred Morris.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Alfred Morris is almost going to have to lose the starting job rather than somebody's going to take it away from him, which I don't really see happening. You know, I would compare Alfred Morris to Marshawn Lynch. Like, you know, he's not going to catch many balls, but you know they're going to feed him the ball. He's going to get his yards. He's going to get his touchdowns. And he only had 11 catches last year, so not going to help you in PPR leagues too much. And he's not a big play guy. His longest run last year was 39 yards. So, you know, just expect, you know, consistent production. But, you know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to single-handedly win you two or 3 weeks.
Right. He's more of a pick for standard leagues. I think he's going to be pretty consistent, as T touched on.
And one interesting thing about Morris is with the strength of schedule, you know, he has the 9th hardest schedule against the run, but the second easiest during the fantasy playoffs. So, you know, that's just, like I said, a little interesting stat.
Like
you
said, let's not look too far ahead to the playoffs. Even if you picked up, we do have certain situations where you could pick up Alfred Morris after week one last year and still not make the playoffs. So we can't look too far ahead. Just worry about your team at draft day. That's what we're trying to get you to do. Our next running back, you know, CJ2K, Chris Johnson. What's there to say about him?
What are we going to do?
Chris Johnson is capable of house at any point, major house. He's so frustrating last year for anybody who owns him. I don't even have to tell you. The promising thing for Chris Johnson, the Titans did add 2 new guards. They completely focused on the offensive line in the offseason, which is good. It's going to immediately benefit Chris Johnson. He's a dual threat running back. We know he can catch balls out of the outfield. Out of the backfield.
Nice outfield. Yeah, you know, I think, you know, 5 weeks into the season, Chris Johnson had an interesting stat. His yards after contact was actually longer than his yards per carry, which means that he was getting hit in the backfield on the average. So the two guards are definitely going to help him. You know, they got Chance Warmack out of Alabama, 10th overall pick. He's a beast. You don't just see guards go in the top 10 very often, and he's a pure mauler run-blocking guy. And they got Andy Levitre out of Buffalo, who we mentioned CJ Spiller losing. So, you know, both guys should help.
You know, despite his small frame, he's pretty durable. He's only missed one game in 5 years, which is
like
pretty impressive.
You hit it on the head, though. He's extremely consistent. You know, he had 5 100-yard games, and actually in all 5 of those, he went over 122 yards. And then he had 8 games with 56 yards this year. So he looks like he's hit or miss, but, you know, he's one of those guys that could definitely win you a week.
All right. There's speculation that Sean Green might get the goal line carries, which I'm really not too worried about, as we just talked about. Chris Johnson, he has the big play ability. He's gonna get his yards. He's gonna get his scores from long distance. Anyone who's watched Sean Green play in the recent future just knows this guy is just
I think it's gonna be more Chris Johnson losing the goal line carries than Sean Green taking him away.
All right, I'd be more worried about Jake Locker as the quarterback than I would. Then again, that team has other things to worry about with Kenny Britt on the team. But we'll see. Another running back who has the same PPR value, who also gets robbed of touchdowns at the goal line, Matt Forte. I really like Matt Forte this year. I've been saying this for the past 5 years. But, you know, right now they have a new coach, way more offensive-minded, way more pass-minded. The general manager came out and said they do want to get more receptions for Matt Forte. He's great out of the backfield. He's as versatile as they come. We know he's their every down, 3-down back. The only thing I'd be worried about is Michael Bush stealing goal line carries, but that's always been the worry with Matt Forte. He's been hurt once in his career. You know, if Jay Cutler can stay upright, if that offensive line can just keep him in the pocket for a few seconds longer, then, I mean, this guy, he doesn't even need carries. It's just all out of the backfield, especially in PPR leagues. He's as solid as they come.
Yeah, you know, you just hope that Jay Cutler can be a little bit better this year. You know, he had a terrible year last year. Like you said, you know, they improved. They knew the biggest problem they had was their offensive line, and they, you know, improved that greatly. They signed Jermon Bertrand out of New Orleans. They signed Matt Slauson. They drafted Kyle Long with their first-round pick, and they picked up you know, maybe the best blocking tight end in football, Martellus Bennett. So, you know, I expect much improvement out of Matt Forte this year, rushing and catching the ball. Like, you know, you hit it with Michael Bush. He might lose goal line carries, but he still, you know, if he catches the ball as much as they say, I still think he'll put in double-digit touchdowns, you know, maybe like 8 rushing, 2 or 3 receiving. So it wouldn't be a major concern. Obviously, you would like, you know, your top picks to get goal line carries, but unfortunately, that's just not the way the NFL is trending towards. So.
Right. I mean, as we talked about in the beginning, this is where draft strategy comes into play. Running back is by far the weakest position. Not weakest position, just it's just lacking depth, as I mentioned before. Now is the time where you have to stack up. You have to fill up your running back 2 spots. If you don't have a running back 1 by now, you might as well quit the league. And these are the guys who can fill these spots. These are it's sort of a tier. We're getting to the point where you just don't want to be stuck with anyone below these running backs at this point. Your production is just going to be lacking. This is the last of the you know. Then you start getting to the running back by committees, which is going to be an every week nightmare where you have to figure out whether you want to start this guy, whether the other guy's going to take over the job after a few weeks. So, you know, start paying attention. Next guy we have here, Steven Jackson from Atlanta, who actually I think is going to have a huge year. He's getting a very big upgrade in this offense. The past 8 years he's been in St. Louis, where he's pretty much been the focal point. They didn't have much else for him. You know, he's going to get – Michael Turner alone has had 5 years in a row with at least 10 rushing touchdowns, and this is all in Atlanta. Now, Steven Jackson, he's been held back from his touchdown count. So now if you put him in this offense, and, you know, they do have Jacquizz Rodgers, who we all like, but that's only in PPR formats. He's just a change of pace back, and we know Steven Jackson's capable of being a 3-down guy.
Yeah, I like Steven Jackson. You know, he's always had the talent. He just didn't have much help in St. Louis. You know, he's infinitely better than Michael Turner. So if Michael Turner has 5 years in a row with double-digit rushing touchdowns, I don't see any reason why Steven Jackson can't do it. And then some. You know, he has 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons. You know, he gets the ball out of the backfield, you know, if needed. I really like this upgrade as far as Steven Jackson going to the Falcons. I think, you know, he could have a pretty good year in Atlanta.
All right, fair enough. Next guy we move on to is Steven Ridley out of New England. The thought of a pass-first offense, but they actually ran the ball 2nd most times per game last year, which is pretty surprising. Now we know Wes Welker's gone, as we touched on last week. If Rob Gronkowski is not playing, then Tom Brady loses his top 5 receivers from last year. Steven Ridley's not much of a receiver out of the backfield. He does get most of the carries. They do still have Shane Vereen in order to handle the wide receiver duties, who could line him up in the slot. They like to try new things, but I sort of like Steven Ridley this year. He ran the ball the most in the red zone. 13 games of 15 or more carries, which has always been a concern with them. They did have Danny Woodhead last year, so you don't know exactly who was going to get the touches there. Ridley did have a touchdown in 10 different games.
He had almost 50 carries in the red zone last year. You know, like you said, he's going to get plenty of opportunities in the red zone because the Patriots actually do run it a lot in the red zone. Bottom line is, if you draft Ridley, you know you're going to get a guy that's going to get a majority of the carries for a very good offensive team. So, you know, I would expect double-digit touchdowns from him, you know, and 12 to 1,300 yards. Just know that you're not going to get any help in a PPR league from – he has 9 career catches in 2 seasons. So, you know, you're not going to get help there. You know, while we're on it, we might as well talk about Shane Vereen. I expect him in PPR leagues to be like the new Darren Sproles or Danny Woodhead, whatever. You know, I think he could have 50, 60 catches this year. You know, Bill Belichick is going to find innovative ways to use Vereen and, you know, get him the ball in space, whether that's running the ball or catching the ball.
Right. And like you said, they just, like we mentioned before, they lost their top 5 wide receivers. It looks like Vereen's going to be the guy. They don't have they don't have many other options at running back. So for the first time in a long time, Stephen Ridley and Sam Vereen looks like they're going to be only a two-man committee instead of, you know, being more of a logjam there. Let's move on to the next guy, Frank Gore, out of San Francisco. It seems like Frank Gore has been in the league forever. And for the past 3 years, I've been passing on him, thinking he was too old, and I think it again this year. But, you know, by the time you find out that he's too old, it's going to be too late. So I'm just going to pass on him once again. But we still have to touch up on him. He is still the team's main goal line back. He did have his highest yards per carry average since 2009. The big thing about Frank Gore, let's look at it because this is the situation he's going to be in going forward this season. Frank Gore had 7 straight seasons with at least 203 rushes, which is fairly high. He gets a huge workload. He does have somewhat of an injury history. He does, you know, he does play through injuries, but that's not what we like to see in fantasy. In weeks 1 through 10 last season, with Alex Smith as his starting quarterback, Frank Gore averaged 5.4 yards per rush and 1.9 yards after contact per rush. In weeks 11 through the Super Bowl, when Colin Kaepernick took over as the starting quarterback, Gore averaged 4.3 yards per rush and only 1.4 yards after contact. So we can see the significant difference. You know they like to run the ball with Kaepernick. He's going to take carries away from Frank Gore. They were more of a conservative offense with Smith at quarterback. With Gore there, with Kaepernick there, they're going to open it up a little.
To be fair, Gore is an absolute, you know, beast in the playoffs. So, I mean, I don't know, that's a little bit of a small sample size. To me, the bottom line with Frank Gore is his average draft position is the 43rd overall pick. So that means, you know, in a 10-team league, you're getting him at the beginning of the fourth round. To me, that's, you know, a little low for a guy. It's basically, you know, a clear-cut starting running back. Do I love Frank Gore? Would I take him in the second or third round? No, but I think he's at an absolute steal in the fourth round. He, you know, you can't say this for many running backs that, you know, he hasn't missed a game in 2 years. And like I said, he's a red zone threat. He's a starting running back in the NFL. So,
right,
you know, I'm not the biggest Frank Gore fan in the world, but I still think he's a solid fantasy play.
Gotcha. You know, another solid fantasy play. He's going to be a high risk, high reward pick as well. David Wilson out of New York. I'll let you have this pick.
I mean,
doesn't sound too confident. And that's coming from
I don't like David Wilson as much as I like Eli, but, you know, like you said, it's a high-risk, high-reward. The guy, can he prove to be an every-down back? You know, he offers value in any aspect. He's going to get rushes. He's going to catch the ball. He may be the best kick returner in the league. You know, I just – in leagues that offer points for big plays, that should be even – a bigger bonus. You know, he averaged 5 yards per carry as a rookie, which, you know, is incredibly good because everybody thinks the Giants have a great offensive line, but they really don't.
Well, not so much anymore.
I think David Wilson gets a little bit of a bad rap just because, you know, he fumbled in his first carry of last year and Tom Coughlin benched him for a little while, but after that he didn't fumble again for the rest of the year. So, you know, Andre Brown might take a little bit of the opportunities away, but you know that the Giants use the first-round pick on David Wilson, so they want him to become the starter.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we move on, one of our fans actually called in, longtime fans. Call, are you there?
Yeah, yes. Hey, guys, this is Ryan Horahan. Big fan, guys, as you know. Second time, long time. You guys do a really great job, but I really wanted to revisit.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Just wanted to revisit some players you guys were discussing before. Just wondering, who do you guys like better as a handcuff option, Bernard Pierce or Bryce Brown? And personally, I like Bryce Brown because he has better muscle tone and is more likely to hold up for the long haul. You know, so I'll hang up now and listen to your answer. Thanks again, guys. You guys are great.
Thanks, Ryan. I'll take this one. Yeah, I think I agree with Ryan on this one. I'll take Bryce Brown over Bernard Pierce. Not for his muscle tone, but just because I think he's going to get more opportunities in Chip Kelly's offense. You know, something would have to happen to Ray Rice for Bernard Pierce to become a fantasy starting quality running back.
Right, and we all know Ray Rice has played in every game for the past 5 years. He's probably not going to get hurt, although I'm still going to have to go with Pierce on this one. Just he's going to be a great flex play throughout the year. You know how many carries he's going to get. He's going to get anywhere from 10 to 12 per game. He might get some goal line looks. He's going to be pretty consistent. Bryce Brown was good for the 3 weeks that he first started in Philly. But after that, he kind of ruined fantasy teams' hopes, or fantasy teams' playoff hopes.
Yeah, but Bryce Brown has proven that he could be a big-time fantasy player.
Well,
whether
also,
it's for 3 weeks.
Well, if Doug Martin hasn't proven it, then Bryce Brown certainly hasn't proven it.
I didn't say Doug Martin hasn't proven it. I just said I wouldn't want him to race a top 3 pick.
These guys have
like
proven their worth in the NFL. Maurice Jones-Drew, coming off a significant injury. He looked out of shape in the offseason. He admitted himself he was up to 230, but now he's back down a little bit. Plays for a horrible team. But the big thing is he's in a contract year, which means they're probably going to – I expect him to run a lot and just pretty much not re-sign him. Just let him go at the end of the year. They know they're rebuilding. They want to take the attention away from Blaine Gabbert. They don't have any threats at wide receiver. He's pretty much an every down back. And he does it all. Averages 46 catches a year over his career. Another guy who's great out of the backfield, DeMarco Murray from Dallas. We do have concerns about him.
Yeah, you know, he's a big-time injury concern. He's missed 9 games in the first 2 years of his NFL career. But other than that, he actually – I love DeMarco Murray other than his injury history. You know, I think he'd be a top 6-7 pick if he wasn't going to get hurt. He has all the physical tools to be an elite NFL running back. He's a good pass catcher. He averaged 3.5 catches per game last year, and he actually caught 71 balls in a 14-game college season. The only thing about DeMarco Murray, besides his injury history, is that he's not great in the red zone. He's actually averaged an unbelievable 0.5 yards per carry in his career inside of the 10, and that's not, you know, a mistake. It's not 5.6, nothing. He has 16 carries and 9 yards inside the 10-yard line.
Absolutely pathetic. Tony Romo has more yards per carry on the missed extra point that he dropped than DeMarco Murray has.
And broke his finger off.
Right.
He came out and said he promised to play all 16 games this year, but, you know, I'm not going to take his word for it. You know, his history has shown that he's probably going to miss a couple games.
Right. Understandable. Like you said, he would be a huge pick if we could trust his injury history, but he's just not a solid pick. And as a running back too, we want to fill up your running back spots, like we said, and he's just not someone you can rely on. Another guy who is might be pretty inconsistent, we don't know if we could rely on him, Monty Ball out of Denver. Right now, Ronnie Hill was listed as a starter to start camp, and if you watched any Denver games last year, that's not too promising for Ball. Granted, they haven't given him much of a chance. They didn't get much of a look at him. But Hillman was drafted to be the third down back, and you know it might just be speculation that they're putting him on the number one on the depth chart for now. We hope that by the end of the year, or by at least midway through the year, Monty Ball is going to be the goal line back. He was a touchdown machine in college, 55 touchdowns in his junior and senior years, all despite running behind a great offensive line. He's a good pass protector. Ronnie Hillman is not. Monty Ball is more likely to be the three-down back. They do want to find an every-down back. Peyton Manning has usually played with an every-down back in most of the teams he's been on. But
yeah, I think that's a common misconception too. That you know, if you play a Peyton Manning-led offense, that you're not the running back's not going to get a lot of fantasy points. But you know, both Edgerrin James and Joseph Addai have double-digit touchdowns playing with Peyton Manning. Monty Ball. He's not the best pass catcher in the world, but, you know, he should be down in there on third downs. He's a polished running back coming out of college, so I think he's going to get some playing time with the Broncos.
All right. And I'm sure you guys are noticing a trend right now. As I mentioned before, inconsistency is starting to come upon us at the running back position. Lamar Miller is the next one out of Denver. We don't know much about him. Second year running back, averaged 4.9 yards per carry last year. Right now, he's going to be the starter and could be the focal point of the Dolphins' offense, with also with a second-year quarterback. Great speed, should be able to make plays, but he's got to prove he can take on the workload. He worked with Frank Gore in the offseason. He has improved his pass protection, which is one of the big concerns they had for him. So we don't know if he's going to get the goal line carries, which is also a big thing. He can make catches out of the backfield. Like I said, it's just they did sign Mike Wallace. We don't know if they're going to try to open the offense up, you know, to more of a passing game. But
yeah, I mean, the bottom line is he's the unquestioned starter for an NFL team. You know, Daniel Thomas might take the goal line carries away, but Lamar Miller should be the go-to back in Miami.
All right. Inconsistency at its finest. Darren McFadden out of Oakland. He is probably the most injury-prone player we have on this list. Never played in 16 games in a season, missed 20 games in the past 5 years. His ability when he is healthy is phenomenal. We all saw what he could do 2 years ago. He led the league in points per game, fantasy-wise at least. He's a great pass catcher, awesome big play ability. 4 of 12 games went for over 100 yards from scrimmage, which doesn't show his big play ability. But he's also in a very limited Oakland Raiders offense, and they might even be worse this year with Matt Flynn instead of Carson Palmer.
Yeah, you just said the key word, though. He led the league in points per game, not total points, because he doesn't get hurt.
Right. Like I said, but he is coming into a contract year. He came into camp very motivated. We can only hope to expect the best out of him. I just wouldn't be able to trust him as a running back, too. Then again, if he does stay healthy all year, he's a surefire first-round pick, but we just can't rely on that. The next guy who has had injury concerns in his career as well, Reggie Bush out of Detroit. This is another guy, if you're in a PPR league, he's kind of the same as Darren Sproles, LeSean McCoy, Doug Martin, guys along those lines, but he relies a little bit more on the PPR, points per reception. Huge threat in a pass-happy offense. He's going to be a situational punt returner for leagues that have return yards. We don't know. He's not going to get goal line carries. He's going to get all his points off yardage, receptions. Detroit backs averaged 4.5 catches per game in 2 seasons, and now they have Reggie Bush, which is the best threat they've had since Jahvid Best, who, as we mentioned, rest in peace, Jahvid Best, down in the NFL.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me is, Reggie Bush had a lot of injuries when he played for the Saints, played on the turf. And, Detroit plays inside on the turf. You don't know those injuries are going to creep back in. But, he was relatively healthy in Miami. So, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. If you're in a PPR league, I'm all good for Reggie Bush.
Okay. Another running back who's a little bit injury-prone, very injury-prone, Ahmad Bradshaw. Despite being labeled as injury-prone, he's only missed 8 games in the last 5 years. But then again, he is starting this camp on the active PUP list, meaning they could activate him at any point. But you still have to show a little bit of concern. But when he's healthy, he's very, very reliable, very consistent. 2 of the last 3 years have been 1,000-yard seasons. He might be the best blocking back in football, which means he should play all 3 downs. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, good in the red zone. Not a big play threat, but he's a great running back too, flex spot.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin said that cutting him out back was the hardest thing he's ever had to do as a coach. So, you know he's just going to make an impression on a young Colts team. He's going to go in there, probably start for them. And, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to get a decent chance to put up some points.
All right. And the other, the running back in New York, Chris Ivory. Yes, we actually have we have somebody in this room wearing a Chris Ivory jersey, which I didn't think was even in production yet. Anyone else? Lacking production? Chris Ivory's career. So this is his first year with a real chance to carry the load. He does have a career 5.1 yards per carry, but we all know that was in the New Orleans offense, which focused on the running game. Anytime they ran the ball, it was kind of a surprise. And he did only, five carries per game?
He was pretty
well rested every time he did get the ball.
Chris Ivory he might as well be a rookie or a second-year player. We don't really know much about him. Honestly, the best way I could put Chris Ivory's fantasy value is fill up to the Jets as he carries the ball. I don't think Bilal Powell is going for, 1,500 yards this year. But, the only thing that concerns me about Chris Ivory is he's had injury and fumble problems in the past. And even playing in New Orleans, he only has three catches in his career. I mean, you only have three catches playing with Drew Brees, and now you go to a team led by Mark Butt Fumble Sanchez. I don't know what that's going to do for your fantasy value.
Right. I mean, let's not expect too much from Ivory. But then again, if his average draft position is anywhere in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, that's pretty good production out of your running back, too, especially out of guys who, you know he's going to get all the carries. He's already going to be the focal point of their offense. Their GM and coach have both stated so. So you got to expect a little bit from the local guy.
They traded for him, so they have expectations for him.
Right.
They gave up picks to get him.
Right, exactly. That's our next consistent back. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis out of Cleveland. We touched on this before. They did draft Gio Bernard out of UNC. It might be a timeshare, but you still have to like Green Ellis. He very rarely fumbles. Two of the last 3 years, he's had 1,000-yard seasons. Should be the goal line red zone back. Averaged 10 rushing touchdowns over the past 3 years, which is rather impressive. Maybe the push by Bernard is going to help Green Ellis out. You know, maybe it's going to give him a little bit of competition despite the timeshare threat. He's not going to get any catches, more of a standard scoring guy.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis might be limited to the infamous touchdown or bust this year. You know, he's not going to put up big fantasy numbers for you unless he scores a touchdown.
Right. And the complete opposite of that. So our next running back, Darren Sproles, a huge PPR threat. And we all know no one's going to benefit from the return of Coach Sean Payton more than Darren Sproles is. Saints throw the ball a ton. They average 42 times per game. And Sproles alone had 104 targets last year as a running back, which is 20 more than any other running back in the NFL. He averages 73 catches a year in his career, which is great for a wide receiver. Seven receiving touchdowns in the last 2 years. And in 2011, with Peyton as his coach, who is going to be back this year, as we mentioned, he still finished as a top 10 running back in non-PPR scoring, which is extremely impressive. Think about if you're in a PPR league, we talked about this with Reggie Bush, Darren Sproles is a borderline first-round pick in PPR leagues.
I would take him in the second round easily. He's a top 10 running back in PPR leagues easily.
Right.
Above Reggie Bush.
And then we have, move on to the next guy, Rashard Mendenhall. Not much of a receiver out of the backfield. He's with Arizona now. Arizona did improve their offensive line. They actually made that a focal point of their offseason. He's reunited with Bruce Arians, his former coach in Pittsburgh, who did name him the starter, the every down starter. We'll see how far that holds up. Ryan Williams didn't do much in Arizona. But there's something to be said about Mendenhall. He's going to get all the red zone opportunities. He's averaged 10 touchdowns from 2009 to 2011 when he was actually healthy. We have a call right now. Let's see who it is. Caller, are you there?
Yep.
Caller, what's your name?
George.
George?
Yep. All right. I got a two-part question for you. Ready?
Yes, go ahead.
All right.
It's not really a two-part, but all right.
Outside of running backs outside of the top 10, aside from Reggie Bush and Darren Sproles in a PPR league, who is the one guy that you think is going to exceed expectations and, you know, be a top 10 running back?
You know what? You actually made this easy for me. It's going to be the next guy on our list, Le'Veon Bell from Pittsburgh. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Let me get to your next question so you can get back to your useless life when you hang up the phone.
No, that was it. That was it. That's all I wanted.
I said it was kind of like a two-part question, but... Fair enough. All right, well, we're going to go with Le'Veon Bell from Pittsburgh, only because he should win the starting job, and he's going to play all three downs due to his improved pass protection. He's a big back who can run between the tackles. He can still catch the ball out of the backfield. We all know what the Steelers are capable of when it comes to running the ball. They failed to do so last season, but that's because, you know, they were dealing with the likes of Jonathan Dwyer and Isaac Redman, who both are a roster liability this offseason. He did have a big workload in college, not much breakaway speed, but, you know, just like the last running back we talked about, we he had the same concerns coming out of college with Rashard Mendenhall, and he was a first-round pick with going into Pittsburgh for his first three seasons. Like I said, he's going to average about 10 touchdowns per year. So I kind of like what they're capable of there. And we have Carolina Panthers situation, we have another storyline today when Jonathan Stewart hurt again. We touched on it before. A lot of people would rather own Jonathan Stewart if both are healthy. Stewart has a higher ADP, average draft position, but he's already missed practices, listed as day-to-day, and coming off two ankle surgeries, which really doesn't bode well, especially for a running back, much less any other NFL player.
Yeah, not that D'Angelo Williams offers, you know, much of a better option. You know, he doesn't catch passes anymore. He's getting older. He's 30 years old. He had 210 yards in the final game of the season last year, which actually made his season look a lot better. But he had 70 yards in only one other game, you know, even despite Jonathan Stewart's injuries. And let's not forget, like you said, the only team in the league that you could say the quarterback is the goal line back. So neither one of them are really going to get goal line carries.
Right. Another situation we don't know much about, Green Bay Packers. They drafted A. Lacy and John Franklin, who should both be the front runners for this spot, despite Alex Green and DeJuan Harris. We got to assume that Lacy has a starting job right now and would get the goal line carries only because he was drafted higher than Jonathan Franklin. But with the Packers throwing the ball often, he could be just too reliant on touchdowns. We know there hasn't been much success out of the running back position in Green Bay. Lacy's not a good pass catcher. He does have injury history, including a recurring injury, which has kept him out of the season.
For where they're going drafted, I actually think I'd rather have Jonathan Franklin in the Packers offense. I think he's just a better fit. In the draft, it was the point where Lacy fell so much that the Packers almost had to take him. But, Franklin's the better pass protector. He's a better back out of the backfield catching passes. He doesn't have the injury history that Lacy has. I think he might not get as many carries as Lacy, but I think he can put up just as many points in PPR leagues with, catches. And, he has a better big playability. And, let's not forget that Lacy ran behind one of, if not the best offensive line in college football history. So, we don't know how he's going to run behind a below-average Green Bay line.
Right. It's just something to monitor throughout the entire preseason because we can't speculate on this until the season actually starts. Another situation which we have no idea about is the St. Louis Rams. We've talked about this every week of our podcast. We all know that Darrell Richardson was listed as the number one running back only because they have to put someone there. So by default, I think they flipped the coin, and that's what happened. Richardson was a backup over Isaiah P. last year. He has the size, despite only being 5'10", 195 pounds. They want to make him an outside runner. He does have the speed, and they kind of want to make it into a committee. If they can turn Isaiah P., who they used a second-round pick on last year, they kind of want to make him the every-down guy. And Fisher said he believes he can have two number one backs. So it looks like Zach Stacy is going to be the odd man out. I expect a committee between Darrell Richardson and Isaiah Pede, except for week one where Pede will be suspended. But, we can deal with that absence.
Yeah, I expect a committee too. Although I will say if one running back emerges, I do think it will be Pede. I think he has more natural talent. I think he's just better suited to be, a lead back. But this is definitely a situation to monitor closely.
Right. Another situation to monitor closely, San Diego Chargers. Now, we have Ryan Matthews, which has kind of been one of the most frustrating and confusing running backs in the NFL the past few years. He was a former 12th overall pick, and ever since that year, he's been speculated as a first-round pick in fantasy leagues. He's actually averaged 4.5 yards per carry and 35 catches per year, even while missing significant time. We all know after watching them play last year, they have a bad offensive line. The team's moving more towards the West Coast offense. He's moving more towards the West Coast offense because of the bad offensive line in order to keep Phillip Rivers upright.
They did sign Danny Woodhead in the offseason, you know, just to give him a different option because we all know Ronnie Brown is pretty terrible. But Danny Woodhead, I mean, tell me a little bit about him. He's going to be good in PPR leagues.
Yeah, I mean, especially if Matthew gets hurt, like, you know, fantasy owners that are fat Matthews actually hate him because he's always gotten hurt, but he's actually been very good when he's been healthy. But, you know, Danny Woodhead is definitely a valuable handcuff this year. He's going to catch passes. He caught 49 last year. Like you say, San Diego is moving to a West Coast offense. I think I don't think it's out of the question to see 60 to 65 catches from Danny Woodhead this year. I'll even go and say if Ryan Matthews gets hurt and Danny Woodhead is a starter, I think he's a fringe running back to play in PPR leagues.
Yeah, like you said, if Matthews is hurt. We actually have another caller.
Hey,
caller, are you there?
Am I on the air? Hey, fuckhead.
You're on the air, sir.
Oh, fuck. Can I motorboat your butt cheek?
What the hell? No idea. I think they hung up. That was pretty much the Chris Ivory of callers. But, all right, let's see what we can do next. I think we covered all the running back situations. Let's move on to the emails that we received throughout the week. This is from Roger. Roger said, which upper tier running back should you stay away from that has a lot of mileage on him? Between Steven Jackson, Frank Gore, Maurice Jones-Drew, or Matt Forte? That's a pretty good question. Out of all of them, I do like the situation that Steven Jackson's been put in. Maurice Jones-Drew is in a contract year. It looks like Jacksonville's going to run him into the ground in order to, you know, get the most out of him before they let him go. I have to say that Frank Gore is the guy to watch out for here. They do have a bunch of other running backs on the roster, LaMichael James, Anthony Dixon, Kendall Hunter, and he wasn't as productive with Colin Kaepernick as the starting quarterback the rest of the year as opposed to having Alex Smith as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand where you're going, Frank Gore. First of all, I think we can agree that Steven Jackson and Matt Forte are both out of the question. You know, those are two guys that we're not going to pick. For me, it's Maurice Jones-Drew. I just don't like the situation. You know, Frank Gore is going to be on a good offensive team. You know, he's going to get carries in the red zone. He's going to catch the ball. You know, the Jaguars are just like, doesn't it suck to be a Jaguars fan right now? They don't even have anyone exciting. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew coming off of surgery, he's not healthy. I don't like his situation at all.
Got it. Let's move on to the next one. We have Jack says, Darren McFadden is ranked towards the bottom of the running back rankings. In a contract year, is it worth reaching on him? Well, Jack, to be honest, I don't think Darren McFadden is going to be a reach at all because he's towards the bottom of the rankings. If anything, I think he's going to be a steal and a value at where he's being drafted. We hate their offense. Let's be honest. Denarius Moore is going to be their number one wide receiver. Matt Flynn is, unfortunately, their number one quarterback. If Darren McFadden can stay healthy and if he is as motivated as the reporters in Oakland say he is in his contract season, then I think he's worth a shot. Maybe in like the third, fourth round. As long as you have your number one running back before that, I would trust Darren McFadden as a running back, too. If he does stay healthy, they don't have much behind him. They signed Rashad Jennings, who isn't too impressive, you know, couldn't carry the load when he was in Jacksonville, and Maurice Jones-Drew got hurt last year. Let's be honest, Darren McFadden might be the most talented running back in the league if he was in a good offense and if he could stay healthy. Two big ifs, but
that's good enough
for me.
You like to take a little bit more chances than I do. I would say if you have two good running backs on your roster, then I would feel comfortable taking Darren McFadden as my flex. I would not want to go into the season with Darren McFadden as my two. You know, just to put it in perspective, guys that are going around Darren McFadden's ADP are later. Lamar Miller, Monty Ball, Ahmad Bradshaw, Chris Ivory, then Jarvis Green-Ellis. Now, when I tell you they're going later, I'm talking about 3 to 4 rounds later, and I'm not sure if I'd rather have Darren McFadden over any of these guys. Yeah, can he be a star? But he's only done it for one season and 12 games in that season as is. So, Darren McFadden's ADP right now is 33, and I'm not taking him around there. You know, I would take him in the fourth, maybe the fifth round,
But, you know, if someone wants to take him in the third round, which is where he's currently going, you know, let him. I will not.
Right. No, fair enough. Well, let's not forget that Darren McFadden was a first-round pick last year. And all the other guys you mentioned, you know, they had a few question marks.
Yeah,
exactly. But you can say the same thing about all the other guys you mentioned, too. They all have question marks.
Okay.
I do like the fact that they are going a little bit later than him. But, you know, we do have one more question. Let me take the caller on the air. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Caller, what's your name?
This is Rob.
What's your name, Rob?
Yes. What's
Rob,
up?
What can I do for you?
Oh, I just wanted to say that T is ridiculous on Darren McFadden's statements. He's totally out of control. I think he's like,
that's what I think. Hey Rob, what are you doing next Thursday night? Would you like to come co-host the Monday morning Hangover podcast?
Oh, no problem. I would love to do that. Where are you guys at?
Let our caller speak. I'm ridiculous with Darren McFadden and what?
I just think that you're worried about the risk, but I think the juice is worth the squeeze, you know? He's the best. If you can say
Rob, would you be willing to take Darren McFadden with a third round pick?
In the third round?
Yes.
Did you say third round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you rather have
there's some guys that are in the top, you know, 5-10 running backs that I wouldn't pick over them, so.
Okay, Rob, let me ask you a question. Darren McFadden or Frank Gore? But Frank Gore is going a full round later. Who would you rather have?
I would rather have Frank Gore because he's more of a certainty. But, however.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Darren
McFadden
stays healthy, he will win the season for me. You know what I'm saying?
But he hasn't done it once in his career, so why am I to believe that this is the year?
Wow, he did a pretty good job at first. I would have thought.
You know what, sir? Next time you call in, I would expect you to have a little more information on your, you know, in order to back your statement. But I appreciate the call. I appreciate you listening.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know anything about football, so I'm just talking.
It looks like a little. I may have one or two Chardonnays, one of it. All right, Rob, I appreciate your call in. You know what? I think that answers our questions for the day. Appreciate everyone calling in. Appreciate all the emails, as per usual. We do have another episode next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. in Eastern Standard Time. Signing out from backsportspage.com. Next week we will talk about the wide receiver position, which is by far the deepest position in fantasy football this year. Get all your questions in on Facebook. Be sure to call in. We appreciate hearing from you guys. Have a great night.
We don't play, we take it to the house. MIA, take it to the house. The way we take it to the house. Take it to the house, take it to the house. 305, take it to the house. We got that fire, take it to the house. Slip and slide, take it to the house.